We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
This is going to be our last King sermon for a while, and I'm going to stop on that series. But the sermon tonight is not actually about a king so much as it is about an event that took place in the life of this specific king. Now, somebody came to me the other night and said, "Don't stop preaching Old Testament sermons. I like them." I'm not going to stop preaching Old Testament sermons, but I'm going to let the kings rest in peace for a little while. And we're going to talk about some other things. Maybe we're going to talk about some judges. I don't know, but we're not going to stop preaching on the Old Testament. What I want to do tonight is to tell you the story or to read the story about a king in the Bible whose name was Jehoiakim. And we're going to read about Jehoiakim's famous, or maybe we should say his infamous, penknife. I invite you to open your Bibles tonight to the book of Jeremiah. Chapter 36, Jeremiah 36, that's going to be the text for this evening. Now, in this particular chapter, we have a great treatise on the Word of God. This chapter tells us about the production of the Word, the purpose of the Word. In fact, if you listen to these, I try to start everyone with the letter P. Sometimes I try to do that. In this chapter, we read about the production of the Word of God, the purpose of the Word of God, the proclamation of the Word of God, the power of the Word, and finally, the permanence of the Word of God. And that's going to serve as the outline for this lesson. Now, in the midst of this treatise on the Word of God, we have the account of King Jehoiakim and his famous penknife. Now, before we actually get into the text, I want to give you just a little bit of background information. The year is about 606 B.C., and as we talked about before, many years before this, the kingdom of Israel had been divided. We talked about this last week. It was divided into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. Now, the king in this particular chapter, the king in Judah at this time, is named Jehoiakim. This man is a very wicked king, but he's the son of a very righteous king. We talked about, you may remember last week, good King Josiah in 1 Kings chapter 13. Remember in the sermon we discussed the young and the old prophet? And as Jeroboam was about to offer, as he was burning incense at this altar, the young prophet came to him and prophesied against him and against this altar. And he said, in the latter days, there is a king who is going to be born. He's going to be a good king. He's going to take the bones of all of these false teachers and he's going to burn them on the altar. And he said, this good king's name is going to be Josiah. Well, 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 15 and 16 say that's exactly what happened. Josiah was born. He burned the bones of these false teachers. But as was in the scripture reading tonight, eventually good King Josiah was killed by a Pharaoh of Egypt whose name was Pharaoh Necho. And Pharaoh Necho took Josiah's son, who was named Eliakim, and he put him on the throne and made him the new king, but he changed his name. He made it Jehoiakim. And so that's the king we're talking about tonight, Eliakim, whose name was changed to Jehoiakim. Now, we don't know a whole lot about King Jehoiakim, except from the book of Kings. We know that he was 25 years old when he began to rule, according to 2 Kings 23 and verse 36. And we know from verse 37 that the Bible says he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Jehoiakim was a very wicked king, and Judah was very corrupt during his reign. And finally, the Lord had had enough of these wicked people. And so we come to Jeremiah chapter 36. Now, let's begin with the first point of this lesson. It is the production of the Word of God. Now, notice with me, Jeremiah 36 and verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying." Now, I want to stop right there and just put a peg down. From this very first verse, we're going to learn something about the production of the Word of God. How did we get the Bible? How did it come to us? You know, many of the modern-day skeptics have various answers to this question. They've got the idea that men sat down and they wrote their own thoughts and opinion and they put it down on paper and they called it the Bible. And even some people who supposedly believe in the inspiration of the Bible, they have various thoughts about how we got the Bible. But notice what this verse says, "And it came to pass that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah." And so we're told Jeremiah did not come up with this himself. God spoke to Jeremiah. Now I want you to notice verses 1 and 2. It says, "This word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book." Now, what's he talking about? God spoke to Jeremiah and said, I want you to take a roll of a book. The writing material of this ancient era was a parchment. It was vellum or sheepskin. And what they would do is they would stretch out this piece of sheepskin and they would write on it. And then they would stitch another piece of sheepskin to it. And then another and another. And then after they had it all written on, they would roll it up in the form of a scroll. And so that's what he's telling him. I want you to take this word that I'm dictating to you word for word, the word of God, and I want you to write it on these vellum pieces of sheepskin, and I want you to put it on a scroll. Now, this verse tells us about the production of God's word because it says that God told it to the prophet, and the prophet wrote it down. And so 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Inspiration means God breathed. God told it to the prophet and said, this is exactly what I want you to say. Now, verses 17 and 18 tell us something else about how the word was produced, because these verses tell us that Baruch was Jeremiah's scribe. And Baruch was told by Jeremiah, I want you to take the words that I write down and I want you to transcribe them. It says that Jeremiah pronounced all of these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. And so what took place is God dictated it to the prophet Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah then told his scribe Baruch, I want you to take this piece of sheepskin, get your pen, and I want you to write exactly what I say. And so he wrote it down and he records, and I wrote these words. Now that's how the Word of God was produced. The second point, let's talk about the purpose of the Word of God. Look at verse 3. This is why God wanted Jeremiah to write this. The Lord said, it may be that the house of Judah will hear all of the evil that I purpose to do unto them, and they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Now, this is the purpose of the Word of God. God told Jeremiah, I'm going to give you a message for you to deliver to the people, and the reason is, I'm hoping when they hear it, that they'll say, this is bad, we don't want this, and so they'll repent. You know, some people have the idea in their minds, they've got a picture of God just sitting up in heaven, just waiting for somebody to make a mistake so they can zap them into hell. Some people think about God that way. But that's not the way the Bible describes the Lord at all. You know, Romans 11:22 does say, behold therefore the goodness and the severity of God. There is a severe side of God. But 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 also says that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There are some people who have the idea that God is just some mean old man, some mean old being who's sitting up in heaven and doesn't want us to have any fun, because why else would He give us all these commandments, right? But you know, this verse shows the fallacy of all of these things. This verse shows us that God's commandments are not to prevent us from having fun. He's not trying to stop us from enjoying life. He's not trying to trap us so that He can catch us and punish us in some way. Look at the purpose of the writing in verse number 3. The purpose is to produce repentance. God said, it may be that they will return from their evil. The Lord said, and it may be that I'll be able to forgive them. That's His hope. That's why He wrote it. That's why He sent it. But because He said, I'm just hoping that when they hear it, they'll repent. And if they do, I'm ready to forgive them. Now, verse 4. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And so he said, this is exactly what God said. Write it down word for word. Here's the third point. And this is the proclamation of the Word. Now, friends, the Word of God does us no good if men do not hear it. You know, if God had spoken the Word to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah had dictated it to Baruch, and Baruch had written it down on a piece of sheepskin and rolled it up on a scroll and set it on his coffee table there to ever remain, it would not have benefited the people in any way, shape, or form. People have got to hear the message if it's going to be helpful to them. Now, listen to verse 5. And then Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I can't go, is what he's saying. And so I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore, go thou. You go, he says, and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all of Judah that come out of their cities. And so Jeremiah says, I can't go right now, but you go. And I want you to wait till the fasting day when everybody is there, and I want you to read to the people that I'm going to punish them. And it's going to be bad for them if they don't repent. And I want you to read it so that everybody can hear it. This is the proclamation of the Word. And we would do well to learn this in the Lord's church because we have the Word of God in our hands. We have the words of life. But that Word does no one any good if they don't hear it. And so it's got to be proclaimed. You know, that's the first step of the gospel plan of salvation. Men have to hear the Word. And Romans 10 asks the question, how shall they hear without a preacher? A preacher is a proclaimer. How shall they hear without a proclaimer? Now, secondly, under this point, I want you to notice not only that they had to proclaim it, but notice what was proclaimed. Verse 6, Jeremiah told Baruch to proclaim the words of the Lord. Now, that ought to be obvious, right? This is the requirement of all of us. It's the requirement of every gospel preacher to proclaim the words of the Lord. Not to preach politics, although sometimes God's Word enters into the realm of politics. Not to preach my opinion, not to entertain people, not to tell jokes and stories, but to preach the Word of the Lord. And that's exactly what Baruch is going to do. He goes and he reads exactly what Jeremiah dictated to him. He proclaimed the words exactly as they were written. Verse 7 says, "And it may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord, and will return everyone from his evil way." Now listen, "For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord has pronounced against this people." He said, Baruch, I want you to go and preach this because God is angry with this people. He's furious. He's going to punish them. It's going to be severe. Verse 8, "And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house." Number 4, I want you to notice the power of the Word. I want you to see the effect that the Word had on the people. Jeremiah told Baruch, go and preach it. I want you to see what happens when he does it. Look at the end of verse 14. "And so Baruch the son of Neriah took the roll in his hand, and he came unto them. And they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. And so Baruch read it in their ears. Now it came to pass, when they heard all the words, they were afraid." Baruch gets there and he tells them, I've got a message from God. It was dictated by the prophet. And they said, sit down and read it to us. We want to hear it. And so he reads it and he tells them, God is very angry. He is going to destroy you. And the text says, when they heard about it, they were afraid. Now, brethren, that's the power of the Word. When they heard it, they were afraid. They were like Felix in Acts chapter 24. When he heard Paul's bold message about righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come, when he heard Paul preach about the judgment day, do you remember what the Bible says about Felix? It says he trembled. Why did he tremble? It shook him up. He heard about the judgment day. He wasn't ready for the judgment day. And so it shook him up and he trembled. And you see, Baruch read to these people a message of doom and a message of destruction. He said, repent or else this nation is going to fall to the hands of Babylon and to the hands of an angry God. The people were afraid, and so they should have been. As a matter of fact, you know, when a man reaches the point that he has no fear over the warning of God, that man's in a serious situation. When a man gets to the point that he can hear about hell preached and it doesn't even bother him, he's in a serious situation. We ought to be afraid. We ought to be fearful if we're not living as we ought to. Matthew 10 and verse 28 says that we ought to fear Him who is able to destroy both the body and soul in hell. And these people did. They did fear. Verse 16 says, they were afraid both one and the other. And they said unto Baruch, listen to this, they heard it, they were afraid. They said to Baruch, we will surely tell the king of all of these words. When they heard the message, they said, God's going to destroy us. They were shook up and they said, we need to tell Jehoiakim about this. The king needs to hear this. This is serious. This needs to go to the top. Now listen to verse 19. Then said the princes unto Baruch, go and hide thee. This is interesting. They said, we're going to tell the king about it, but before we do, you better go hide. Now that's interesting. Go and hide thee and Jeremiah. You and Jeremiah better hide out during this, and let no man know where ye be. And they went into the king, into the court, And they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and they told all the words in the ears of the king. And so they said to Baruch, you better go hide and tell Jeremiah not to come out, because we're going to tell the king. And then they took the scroll and they hid it. And they went into King Jehoiakim and they repeated all the things that Baruch had just read unto them. When the king heard it, notice verse 21, the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll. Now there's a good name. Any of you who are expecting a child, the name Jehudi, you can reuse that one. He sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and it says he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of the princes who stood before the king. And then we have something interesting in verse 22. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire in the hearth burning before him. That's not just incidental. The king hears the message read to him, and he's sitting there in front of the fire. Now again, we're talking about the power of the word. The first people heard it, and the power of God caused them to react in fear. But I want you to notice verse 23. Notice the next reaction, the reaction of King Jehoiakim. I'm going to read this from the New King James. And it happened, when Jehudi had read three or four columns, that the king cut it with the scribe's knife, and he cast it in the fire that was on the hearth until all of the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Now this is interesting, because first we read about the Word of God producing fear. Now we read about the Word of God producing anger. King Jehoiakim was so disturbed, no doubt so angry by the Word of God, that he got out a knife. He took the scribe's pen knife that they used for cutting the parchment and the vellum, and he cut up the Word of God. He literally cut it up and threw it through the scraps of it on the fire. And verse 23 says he did not stop until he had burned the entire roll. Now this was not the first time that the Word of God had made people mad, and it certainly wasn't going to be the last time. You may remember in Acts chapter 7, in the days of Stephen, the Bible says he preached the truth unto the Jews. The text says that they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth. Verse 57 says they cried out with a loud voice. They stopped their ears. They covered their ears. They said, we're not going to listen to this. And it says they ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city, and they stoned him to death. They were so mad when they heard it, they said, we can't stand it. They covered their ears and they killed him. You remember the Apostle Paul was beaten and stoned for preaching the Word of God. Our Lord was crucified for the message that He proclaimed. In fact, 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Well, Jehoiakim got so mad, so enraged at the Word of God, he got out his knife and he literally cut it up and threw it in the fire. And you know what? There are still some Jehoiakims around today. There are still some people today who literally cut passages out of their Bible. I've never seen someone do this, but I've had people tell me over the years that so-and-so person they know took a razor and actually cut Mark 16, 15 and 16 out of their Bibles because they did not like it. Some people literally cut things out of their Bible. Other people have used whiteout and done the same thing, and they try to white it out. But you know, a man may white it out of his Bible. He may cut it out of his Bible. He may ignore the passage and he may deny it. He can take Jehoiakim's pen knife and cut it left and right and up and down. But the Bible still says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You see, what Jehoiakim did not realize is that the Word of God is not flammable. Burning it did not change anything. Now here's the last point, point five, and this is the permanence of the Word. Notice verse 27. Then the Word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king of Judah hath burned. That is very interesting to me. The king cut it up. He sliced it to pieces, threw it in the fire until he had burned the entire roll. And the Lord just simply said to Jeremiah, I'm going to dictate the same thing to you again, and you can write it down. The Lord simply had Jeremiah retranscribe it. The point, of course, is the Word of God cannot be destroyed. It is not flammable. It is indestructible. Jesus said, as we talked about this morning, Mark 13:31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not. Peter said, the grass withers and the flower fades away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. 1 Peter 1:23-25. Many men have tried to destroy the Bible, but still it remains. Thomas Paine, the American colonist who wrote the Age of Reason, he said, in 5 years from now, there will not be a Bible remaining in America. I have gone through the Bible with an axe and cut down all of the trees. Ironically, history tells us that after Thomas Paine's death, his own printing press was used to print Bibles. Robert Ingersoll, the American agnostic, wrote, in 15 years, I will have this book in the morgue. Of course, this book referring to the Bible. In 15 years, something was in the morgue, but it wasn't this book. It was Robert Ingersoll. And after his death, a man by the name of Robert Gary sat at his very desk, the very desk that Robert Ingersoll had worked at to discredit the Bible. And Robert Gary sat there and wrote Bible lessons. And we could go on and on with examples. Men have tried to destroy the Bible, but still it remains. And so the poet wrote, despised and torn to pieces, by infidels decried, the thunderbolts of hatred, the haughty cynics cried. All of these have railed against it in this and other lands, yet dynasties have fallen, and still the Bible stands. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And he said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Ladies and gentlemen, if there is one thing that we learn from Jehoiakim's penknife, it is the permanence of God's word. But Jesus said, the word that I have spoken, you're going to hear it again. The same shall judge you in the last day. By hearing it, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ, and being immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:47 says, the Lord will add you to His church. And if you will live faithfully for the rest of your life, the promise is you will receive a crown of life.